This is Clayton for Podcast Radio Business. We're joined by Katie Paxton-Fear, lecturer in cybersecurity at Manchester Metropolitan University. And we're here to discuss why, with fraudsters scamming more than 1 billion, 48% of us feel more at risk of scams. Thank you for joining us, Katie.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Katie, please tell me more about your role at Manchester Metropolitan University.
I'm a lecturer in cybersecurity and my specialism is ethical hacking. So I hack companies and tell them how I did it so they can keep themselves safe before they get attacked by a real hacker.
That sounds like some people's dream job.
It definitely is.
This very bold headline that, you know, £1 billion being scammed from people and 48% of us feel at risk of scams.
We see them a lot more regularly now than we ever have before. You know, I myself have get phishing emails maybe every single day. So I think just now we see it all the time, everywhere.
What are some of the emerging trends? Because everybody's talking about AI, whether they know about AI or not, they think that AI is going to take over the world. But what are the emerging AI-based scamming tactics that have become prevalent in recent years?
Yeah, we've definitely seen AI grow massively. The same way we use it to make ourselves more efficient, to help us produce content, or even just rearrange our calendar, attackers are doing it as well. And scammers certainly use AI in order to target more people. Really common one we see is deepfake videos. So oftentimes a finance influencer or finance creator, think people like Elon Musk, Martin Lewis, and Mr. Beast, you'll see videos of them promoting this new investment. Like, oh my gosh, this new investment that Elon Musk has endorsed. And of course, it's not Elon Musk. It's a fake video that looks really realistic. On the other hand, we have things like ChatGPT that now actually can go and scrape your profiles and can get the perfect scam for you. And instead of it being, you know, one scammer's job to try and get you to fall for it, now they can easily scale up massively and use like your profile in order to target you specifically.
Deepfakes and ChatGPT, that's beyond the understanding of most people. When they see a picture of Elon Musk or Martin Lewis or Mr. Beast, if you are very much into that world and you are very much a subscriber to that person's point of view or politics or ideas, it's so easy to get taken in.
It really is. I mean, a recent report from Raisin shows that there's a huge emotional cost to scamming. 28% of people feel angry, 27% of people anxious, 23% develop trust issues. Like, it does feel like a betrayal from a lot of people. And I just want to say, you know, if you do fall for one of these scams, you shouldn't feel ashamed of it. They are really sophisticated and they are like specifically targeted to trick you. Oftentimes we can be vigilant and we can be aware, but that sometimes doesn't stop us from clicking on a link. The important thing is that we just make sure if we are being asked for money, that we are being, you know, very savvy about it. It's not too bad if you click a link. It's bad if you then put in your credit card details, right?
So we at Podcast Radio Business are always in a position of hearing what's going on in the wider business world. And I remember many years ago that solicitors would find themselves transferring large amounts of money on a house sale to somebody who was completely not part of the transaction. Has this kind of thing increased, you know, with the advancement in technology?
Definitely. I mean, we've heard of stories where people have had their house literally stolen because it's been sold and they were never aware of it. I myself, when I bought my house, I had to transfer, you know, my life savings to a solicitor in a random bank account. And of course, there's a lot of ways where we do things that actually is really insecure. You know, we provide bank details via a PDF that anyone could have sent us. And so making sure that we have things like, you know, robust practices for that everyday kind of finance that most people do is really important. Certainly when it comes to transferring large amounts of money, you know, just providing a PDF with bank details, it's not really very trustworthy. Though I have heard of a lot of people will transfer a pound and then confirm with their solicitors that that transferred before transferring the full amount to pay for a house or their deposit.
That's actually quite a sensible thing to do, to be honest with you, because I think what normally happens is that people get a telephone call from somebody saying, oh, everything's changed and blah, blah. And especially if it's on the day of completion where your anxieties are at, boy, oh, you know, on 11 on a scale of 1 to 10, it's very easy for this to happen.
I always recommend to people to, you know, your bank, when you call them, you'll get asked security questions and they'll be like, can you provide us whatever your name and address? I would do the same to people who call me. Like, I'll ask them to prove who they are before I'll talk to random people on the phone. Like, if I'm getting asked security questions, so are they.
And you're absolutely right. And it's having that confidence. And the problem with most people is that the confidence of the authoritative voice, a voice that sounds authoritative, usually makes people do things that they don't want to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the recent research by Raisin said, you know, 88% of adults are confident in their ability to recognize a scam. But still, one in 10 individuals are losing £100 to £150 due to scams so far this year, and we're only in April.
Indeed, as you said, the year hasn't got going yet. We're seeing a lot about voice cloning and verification fraud. And obviously that's particularly important for us in business, where obviously, you know, you'd get a call from the managing director, you know, transfer, yep, you know, £100,000, and you're thinking, okay, boss. And then you realize that, you know, it's all gone horribly wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I myself, you know, I've got emails from my boss saying, hey, Katie, we need some gift cards to give out for a incentive or to deal with student problems. And the idea is that you put that time pressure and that like already existing pressure to impress your boss, and you've got somebody that is more kind of susceptible. I think one of the best things that will happen, as much as we're talking about like people, scammers using AI to be more convincing, actually we have AI too, and we can stop those emails from ever hitting your inbox, meaning that hopefully over time, you know, we will see scams just disappear simply because platforms will have things in place to prevent it.
So why do you think a significant portion of individuals don't report scamming incidents to their banks or their relevant platforms?
I think often, especially at some levels, it will be because people are like, that is obviously a scam. Like, I'm not going to press that. That is obviously a scam. But that means we never actually see like the true rate of scamming. You might think it's super obvious. That doesn't necessarily mean the person sitting next to you in the office thinks it's super obvious. And it certainly doesn't mean that, you know, somebody who's maybe uses the internet less or maybe only uses the internet work and doesn't get exposed to it outside of work will as well. And I think one, it's just that assumption that it's obviously a scam. And two, there's a bit of shame, I think, around, you know, experiencing a scam and actually falling for it. Even if they don't necessarily hand over money, it still like makes them feel a bit dumb, a bit stupid. And actually, you know, it is really convincing and it is designed for you to click on it.
When you mentioned shame and embarrassment, this obviously leads into romance scams, which are highly prevalent. There's usually a more mature lady who's in the Daily Mail saying that she thought she was in love with a chap and she'd obviously expended her personal feelings in relation to this gentleman, and basically to find out it was a scam.
Romance scams have always been more prevalent, but certainly with where AI is at the moment, creating a really crafted response to an email is actually much easier than it used to be. These scams used to take quite a lot of man hours, and actually, you know, reading the email, crafting a response, putting that, like starting the pressure low and then really pushing down, pressuring that person even more. and saying, you know, nice things. Used to take up a whole scammer's time. Now they can just use AI and generate these responses on a much larger scale than before.
So in your opinion, what role should financial institutions and online platforms play in really combating these AI-driven scams? Because those institutions are our first defense against these scammers.
Well, this is where the report, like Raisin's report, come in, really, is understanding what risks are out there, understanding what people actually are experiencing, what those top scams actually are, and then giving them advice, preemptively saying, hey, these are the scams, and here is how, you know, you can remain savvy to them, making sure they're spreading that awareness. And certainly, even me speaking to you right now, we are raising awareness for these scams, and people will listen to this and become more aware, and hopefully we'll end up preventing the next.
There are people going to be listening to us, and our audience are thinking to themselves, God, this sounds like a really scary world to be living in. Is there a way that one can protect oneself, or at least insulate oneself just by your actions, in order to avoid these types of scams?
100%. As an individual, obviously, you can't stop every single scam. If you do click on a link, and it's redirected you to a login page, or it's asking you to put your credit card details in, simply don't do it. Like, confirm, say, if you've got a reach out from a solicitor, they're like, can you please pay this? Call the solicitor's phone number, but not from that email, right? We always get told, if someone calls pretending to be your bank, hang up and call the number on the back of your credit card. Same idea applies to things like emails and phone numbers as well. Two is to make sure you're just aware of what scams are happening, you know, aware of the kind of scams going around, how they're being really convincing. If your email appears in something like a data breach, making sure that you are keeping up to date with your cyber hygiene, if you like, make sure that, you know, what you've got out there is, you know what's out there. And actually check your online activity. You know, a lot of people don't even do the basics. One in 10 adults actually check their accounts for suspicious activity, which is crazy low, right? Like, you'd expect that to be much higher. And finally, I think the best thing you can do is, if a deal seems too good to be true, or if you're being pressured into making a decision right now and it's money related, it's probably a scam.
I think that's the one that sticks out for me, because the time pressure that's attached to people, and especially what we find in business, is that people want you to do it now, this second. It's got to be now.
Yeah, end of day. Got to be done by the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think as long as you're not a doctor and no one's going to die, I think it sometimes these things can be left. So,
yeah, for sure. And I think it's also about talking as well, you know, speaking to other people and telling them about the scams you're experiencing.
And do you feel that people should sometimes trust their gut instinct? And if you feel that there's something wrong, mention it to somebody, because they may be feeling or thinking the same thing.
Definitely, 100%. You know, you'd be surprised in how often our gut instinct is actually correct.
In order for people to get the benefit of these pieces of knowledge and this information, where can they go to for more information?
So you can visit raisin.co.uk, read the full report. But there's also a lot of tips and tricks about kind of the scams happening and how to remain safe online.
Excellent. So Katie Paxton Fear, lecturer in cybersecurity at Manchester Metropolitan University, thank you for joining us on Podcast Radio Business.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're most welcome. Thank you.